Well, good evening, everyone. A warm word of welcome to the house of the Lord this evening. It's good to see each and everyone that's gathered in such a cold and a frosty evening. We welcome you in the Saviour's name, and we pray that the Lord will bless and the Lord will be with us again this evening. And we do thank you for making that effort. Those roads are certainly slippy and foggy, and there's much to hinder and to put a child of God off and put anybody off, but we do thank you for coming this evening. Do remember today's return offering for the building fund, and do remember that as you leave again this evening. Then, on behalf of Auchnacloy, for the young people, we remind you of the youth rally, 8:45 this evening, and the Reverend Julian Patterson, the Minister of Ballymagurney, will be along to speak at that meeting, and Auchnacloy young people are singing at that youth rally tonight. It's the final one of the year, so young people, you're welcome to attend there this evening. Then the meeting's in the incoming week, and it's the end of the year, really, so there's a number of last meetings, as it were. The children's party will be on tomorrow night, and it's on at the earlier time of 6:45, and it's on to the later time of 8:30, just to have that time with the children tomorrow night. So we do remind you of that. The bus will be leaving that little bit earlier, and we'll be back that little bit later, and do remember that indeed. Tuesday night is the final committee meeting and the session meeting for the year at 7:30. I was looking at these announcements and I thought, well, Monday night's a children's party, Friday night's a youth party, and does that mean the committee in session's a committee in session party and Tuesday night? But there is a business, brethren, we remind you of it, 7:30 in the minister's room. Prayer meeting, Bible study at 8 p.m. on Wednesday evening, and we encourage and look for God's people, if you can be with us each Wednesday evening, to study God's word and to come around the throne of grace in prayer. We love to see you gathering with us, and we do pray that you'll make that effort even again this Wednesday evening. Young people, as we mentioned, come over to the manse on Friday night at 8 p.m. For that time of fellowship, for some games and some pizza, and you're all welcome to attend on Friday evening. Then, on behalf of our presbytery and our government memorials, committee of our presbytery, there is the online prayer time this Saturday morning coming from 9:30 until 11 a.m. And it is a season to gather together, even on the online means, to seek the Lord in prayer, especially for the needs of our land at this time with the various rules and laws that have been changed and enforced. And in particular, you think of the changes in abortion and the efforts that are being made in relation to that. And so we encourage God's people, if you can be part of that Zoom prayer meeting on Saturday morning, then certainly do sign up for that, get the login details, and then join together with God's people as we seek the Lord in prayer. The service is next Sunday, the Sabbath school, which will be the last one of the year as well, 10:30. Regular times of worship, 11:30, 7 p.m. And in the morning time, the children and young people from our Sabbath school will be taking part, and then in the evening time, we'll have some carol singing. We'll start to draw our attention next Sunday towards the coming of Christ, both in both of those messages. And so we do remind you of the meetings next week, and we do encourage you and invite you to come and to be with us here in the house of the Lord. Now we're going to commence our testimony meeting with the hymn 283. The hymn 283, the pages 290. 'Twas Jesus, my Saviour, who died in the tree to open a fountain for sinners like me. His blood is that fountain which pardon bestows and cleanses the foulest wherever it flows. 283, we'll stand as we sing, please. Let's just still our hearts and our minds in the presence of God. Unite around the throne of grace in prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee. And through that precious, that wonderful name of Jesus Christ, we thank Thee this night for the power of God. We thank Thee for the night tonight for the power of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. We think of those words that we've just been singing together of how the Lion of Judah shall break every chain. We acknowledge, O God, there is those chains of sin, even holding and gripping the sinner. Those chains that develop or wrap around us and just envelop us. And yet we thank Thee that Christ has that power to break every chain, to set the prisoner free from the shackles of sin. We thank Thee, O God, this night for each one who can testify of that moment in time when Christ entered into their lives, when the light dispelled the darkness, no shackles of sin were removed. We thank Thee that testimony is there for Sandy Boyd tonight, of that moment when I did see of him. Lord, we thank Thee for bringing him here tonight to even to tell us, to testify of what God has done for him, what God continues to do for him. We thank Thee for grace. We thank Thee, O God, for saving grace. We thank Thee, Lord, for keeping grace. Lord, we do pray that Thou wilt bless tonight, even as we are in Thy house, that Thou wilt bless and lift up Christ even through this testimony, that Christ will be glorified, that Christ will be honored. We thank Thee for Thy hand of mercy upon us even tonight. We thank Thee for safety and travel, Lord. We acknowledge it's, Lord, a difficult and inclement evening. Lord, we thank Thee for that hand of mercy that's been afforded to each one and bringing them here. We pray that Thou wilt bless us tonight. We pray, O God, that we will be warmed by the Holy Spirit tonight, that as Thy servant even testifies, Lord, that we will know the Lord speaking to our hearts. Remember our sister who will sing tonight as well. We pray that Thou wilt bless her. We pray that those messages that she will bring will be a blessing unto us. And Lord, that they will dovetail even with what will be said. Lord, we pray for souls. O God, if there be one in our gathering tonight out of Christ, or even listening online tonight, we pray that Thou wilt speak. We pray that the Spirit of God will strive and, Lord, will draw those sinners unto Thyself. O Father, have mercy in these days, we pray Thee. Lord, whether it be here in 6 Mile Cross, or whether it be, Lord, right across our land in each county, each town, each village, O God, we pray for souls to be saved. We pray for the gospel to even come forth with that freshness, with that power, with that, O God, unction from on high. We pray for sinners to be dealt with even in meetings tonight. We pray for souls to be saved. Lord, in this day and age in which we live, and even as we mentioned earlier, with the changes of laws and the enforcement of those laws, the implementation of them, O God, we pray Thee that Thou wilt turn this nation once again. Lord, this nation which was once so far from Thee, so much into the depths of sin and of depravity, and yet, O God, we pray Thee that Thou wilt yet raise up that standard, that the Lord will yet have that great victory over many sinners in this land, that souls will be saved, that backsliders will be restored, and the cause of Christ will go forward, yea, in leaps and in bounds. O God, bless us tonight again, I pray Thee. Bless us with Thy presence. Bless each and every aspect of this meeting. Lord, may we leave rejoicing, saying it was good to be here. If there be one in our gathering tonight out of Christ, oh, that they will leave rejoicing, saying that now they are saved. Now they're a child of God. Now they have that peace with their Lord and with their Savior. O God, hear and answer prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. 383, we'll sing together. The hymn 383, There Will Never Be a Sweeter Story. Story of the Savior's love divine, love that brought him from the realms of glory, just to save a sinful soul like mine. We'll stand again as we sing 383, please. Thank you. Delighted tonight to have one of our young people along to sing. We're going to ask Jessica now to come and to sing two pieces to us. Thank you. We say a word of thanks to Jessica for singing to us. And they were a blessing to hear. And it's a joy even to hear our young people taking part. And we do thank her sincerely for those messages tonight. We're going to read from the book of Proverbs together. Every week, as you know, we read together through the scriptures. And we come this evening, Proverbs chapter 6. And we pick up at the verse 19. Proverbs chapter 6 and the verse 19. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman and from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom, and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals, and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth in to his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her, shall not be innocent. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding, and he that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this evening. We're going to sing together one more hymn just before our brother Sandy comes. The hymn 349 you'll find in the page 318. And we'll lift our tithes and offerings as we sing this hymn together. 349, I lay my sins on Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. He bears them all and frees us from the accursed load. 349, and as I said, we'll remain seated for the first part, please. Let's stand for verse 3, making it our final verse, please.
I rest my soul on Jesus, his weary soul of mine. It's a rare occasion when the speaker asks you to leave your watch for him. Usually whenever I put mine on, they're happy enough because it means it's not there in front of them. It's a joy to have our brother Sandy Boyd with us this evening. When I first started teaching Sunday school, Sandy Boyd to me was just a name. He was a man that sent us letters every so often in Clock Mills because he used to be involved in FAME and he used to be involved with child sponsorship. In Clock Mills, we used to sponsor a number of children. And every so often, we'd receive this letter from Sandy Boyd. Never knew who he was. And then I got to know Sandy. And then in my final year in Bible college, I was placed in Cross Gar, where Sandy's one of the elders. Got to know him even better. And one particular Sunday, the church there were staying after their morning service to have lunch together. And I was preaching in a nearby church. And they said, well, sure, come on over for your lunch. And over lunch, I sat beside Sandy, and Sandy told me his whole testimony. And I'm glad it was a cold salad lunch because I stopped eating just to listen to Sandy. And thankfully it wasn't hot food going cold. And then he gave me a copy of his CD and I listened to it again. And it was a blessing to hear how the Lord saved him and how the Lord kept him. He was originally supposed to be here in 2020. You know what happened that year. And we're delighted we could reschedule and have our brother down. And it's lovely to have little Ezra as well. We've now had three generations of the Boyd family in this church over this year because we had Kyle Boyd, and Kyle, of course, is Ezra's daddy. We had Kyle here in the summer doing Children's Day and testifying. And now tonight we've got Sandy and we've got Ezra. And one of the last times I saw you, Ezra, you had that big cut in your head. And then it all got healed up. Isn't that right? And I think he was with you the time he got it cut. He's cut it again. It's not good being with Granda. But it's a joy to have Sandy. And we're going to ask him now to come and testify, brother.
It's an absolute pleasure to be here tonight. We thank you for the invitation from Reverend Timothy Emeroyd to come and give me testimony. You know, I heard him talking about the party, the children's party and the youth party. But I don't know whether you have in your session committee meetings, but we introduced him in ours in Crossgar that you could have 10 coffee during it and a bag of American hard gums to put the evening in when it was a touchy subject. So I don't know if he's introduced this to you, but this is one thing that we taught him in Crossgar in our meeting. But listen, it's good to have a testimony to give the saving power of my Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. I was blessed to be born into a Christian home. My mum and dad and my grandmother we lived with was saved. But you know, in that in itself won't get you into heaven because Psalm 51 and verse 3 says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. So being born into a Christian home is an advantage, but it won't itself get you into heaven. And Proverbs 22 and 6 says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Well, I was sent along to Ballygowan. Ballygowan is a small village even today, but it was a really small village nestled in County Down between Samfield and Cumber, or 10 miles from Belfast if you go up by Roselawn Cemetery. That's how they also describe it. Small village. But it was a Presbyterian church, and I was sent along to Sunday school in the Presbyterian church. And I have to say that every teacher that I had was born again. And I used to think, because not every Sunday school teacher in the church was saved, but mine was. My father was a Sunday school teacher, and a few years before he died, I asked him, Dad, did you select the Sunday school class that I was going into because they were all saved? He said, no, son, I had absolutely no say in what class you went to, but they were all saved men and women who taught me in Sunday school, and I was sent along to Tully Girvan, which was an old orange hall about 2 miles outside the village. My dad run an afternoon summer Sunday school and a gospel meeting in a Sunday night, which is probably the only gospel meeting in the surrounding area, and it was non-denominational, so you had everybody coming who were saved to preach the gospel on a Sunday night. And then on a Wednesday night I went along till the Baptist had a children's meeting in Ballygowan, and I was sent along to that. But it was attending a mission in the outskirts of Ballygowan, the town of Lanamacher Schools, by two Faith Mission pilgrims, Mr. and Mrs. Wheeler. And at the age of 7, I trusted in the Lord as my own and personal saviour. But you know, it's quite easy to go along as a Christian when you're at primary school. There's nothing rock the boat. But when I went along to high school, I was weak. I was weak, and I wasn't very. I didn't speak about the Lord. I hid it really, and unashamed to me. But listen, there's many things that bothers me, and that's one of the things I think sometimes we as older people are critical of young people and children, and we should really be encouraging, because those young people need encouragement. The children and young people need encouragement as they grow up, and encourage them in the Lord. And I run about with fellas who were professed faith as well, but they weren't going on with the Lord, nor was I. I was backslidden, really, when I was around about 15, 16. I wasn't deep into the world, but I wasn't living my life as a Christian. I was ashamedly. But I always remember when I left those friends to walk home in the village to my own house, I used to be troubled with thoughts. What if the Lord came tonight? Where would I stand? Would I be going to heaven? This used to really, really bother me. And you know, the friendship of those fellas that I had run about with from 4 or 5 years of age drifted apart. And I couldn't figure that out, because we'd been friends for years. But as I look at it now, I can see that the Lord was separating me from them. Because those fellas who profess faith have walked away from the Lord and are not going on with the Lord at this present time. But I met up with a fellow who had went to school with, and him and I started to go to youth meetings again, and he wasn't saved, but I was there and went to the youth meetings, and at my own bedside I came back to the Lord, and not long after that Keith also got saved. So we were able to go to meetings together. And it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor of the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. So it's good, you know, when you're saved young and you have that, you're not deep into the world. And we were able to go to those youth meetings. We had a walk for the first 3 miles. We had a thumb and lift every Wednesday night to go to Crossgar Free for Youth Fellowship. And on a Saturday night, we used to thumb a lift to Samfield, and then we got a lift to a little tin mission hall situated between Crossgar, Samfield and Ballinahines, Lestuder, and there was a youth fellowship. But it was good, it was encouraging for us, and I was training to be a motor mechanic, or lorry mechanic, I should say, and I met Roberta, my wife, or Roberta as I call her, through those meetings, and we started to go out together. And in 1978, we got married. I know it didn't look good, but 1978 we got married, and we went to Crossgar Free Presbyterian Church. And as soon as after we got married in June, and we got the children's meeting was starting in September, and we asked, could we help? And we like to be involved in the children's work. Roberta, many years ago, when she was a young girl, had been involved in it. So Roberta and I started to help in the children's meeting. I was 21 and Roberta was 20, and we're quite content. Alana, our daughter, was born in 1981, and things were going normal. Everything was happy enough. But always in the back of my mind, I always thought I would like to join the police. But then the idea would go off again and come back. Not because of troubles, just thought about it and then it would drift off. But I said to Roberta, one day we were in Newcastle, there was a big festival on and there was a recruiting police thing. And I talked to them about it and I said, Roberta, I'd love to join the police. You know. And the big thing that she said, what about the children's meeting? What about the children's work? And I said, look, let's pray about it. Let's see if the Lord leads in that direction. We'll both pray about it, and we'll pray about it. And on the 10th of April 1983, I joined the Royal Ulster Constabulary and I went to Enniskillen. But I had promised the Lord, if the Lord had got me into the job, that I would take my stand for him. No matter what, I would witness and I'd be a testimony for him. So I went into the training centre, apprehensive, on the Sunday morning. I stopped at the security to check me in the wind. And as I got out of my car, so to check my boot, I looked behind and lo and behold, there was a fella that I knew, a saved fella. And I thought, brilliant, here's somebody that I know is saved, going into the college. But I never thought, my name's Boyd and his is Patterson. And then the police, everything's done in alphabetical orders and numbers. So he was in one dorm and I was in another one. Never thought of that. But I came in, but I promised to take my stand. As I walked into that bedroom, there was five other policemen in it. And the first one introduced himself to me and he said, my name's Mervyn. and I'm saved. And, you know, there we go. And there the Lord provided somebody for me. And we went in through it and we were able to discuss the things of the Lord in front of the other boys. They would ask you questions. But at night, I promised the Lord I'd get down at my bed and I would pray to him. And he used to ask me why, and I used to pray in front of them. It was hard to do sometimes, but I took my stand and was able to testimony and witness to them as we went through the training. I was sent in. The police are always very good. They asked you, is there anywhere you would like to go to serve? And you say, brilliant. And I said, I'll give them where I would like to go. And then they sent me somewhere completely different because they thought better. And I was sent to Belfast to Willowfield, which was in the east of the city. It would have been a loyalist, unionist area. A lot of loyalist paramilitaries in it. But that's where I served. And I served there for 9 years. But in 1985, so that was, I went there in September 83. And in 85, our son Kyle was born. And Kyle came 10 weeks early. And Kyle has given us testimony here. So I'll not go over it, but Kyle was critically ill. In fact, the doctor said to me that night that he had probably a 40% chance of living. And I came home and was broken. I came home from the Ulster Hospital. And to be honest, I cried sore unto the Lord at my bedside. And I pleaded for Kyle's life at my bedside. You know, after some 10, we knew there was something wrong with Kyle. And when I prayed, I never thought of the ask. I asked the Lord just to protect his life, to save him. But we discovered that Kyle had cerebral palsy. We came home from the hospital, we were down about it. But my mum, there's a lady here who says, you my mum. My mum, quite a bubbly woman, but she always did her Bible reading on the bus going to Belfast to go into work. And she had read, and she the reading was Mark 6 and 37. Whosoever shall receive one such child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. And, you know, there was on that, our Bible reading, there was a poem. I'm not going to read it tonight because I'm sure Kyle has read it to you about looking after a disabled child. But I felt that Roberta and I both felt that it was our calling, that Kyle was our child and we would look after him. I was then asked, I was going to be transferred to an area in East Belfast called the Short Strand. Now, where the other one's hardline loyalist, it's a nationalist area with a hardline Republican unit within it. And of course, my boss tells me, I'm going to send you to that there. And me being me, I asked him, do I have a choice? And he said, of course you have a choice. Everybody's a choice. So I'm like, I would like to move in 2 weeks and you can refuse. But you're going in a month, but you're going there. And that was my choice. And that was his choice. So I was sent to the Short Strand. Now, my wife had this inkling because my boss had been transferred to it, my sergeant, and he was a saved man. And she said, you know, I think you'll go there. And I said, I'm happy at Willowfield. I'm happy where I am, contented. But things changed, and I was sent to the Short Strand. You know, it was an extremely, extremely dangerous area. We patrolled the area. We were a neighbourhood police unit, but we had to have the military to accompany us to keep us safe. And when we went out, we were constantly under observation and under attack. I remember one night we're out and we're walking. The military were out with other police, and Ed suggested we go out for a walk rather than take the Land Rover because it was a summer evening. The sergeant said, great idea. And we walked off and we're walking through the area and we're crossing the Short Strand into the Leggan walkway. And suddenly, as we come through, I felt it was obviously the Lord speaking to me, don't move, stay where you are. And my colleague was behind, was a safe fella, David, and he had been stopped by a motorist. But what we didn't know was the provincial IRA had taken over a house just a few yards away. They were in the upstairs bedroom waiting for a target. Now, they didn't expect us to come across there, but David was just sitting open and he'd been an easy target. And there's no doubt the Lord spoke to me. I didn't move a stead until the motorist went on and David passed me back in behind the wall and we're safe. And maybe 20 minutes later, they opened fire on another target because we hadn't presented himself. You know, you see yourself in God's hands. And we used to talk about the things. If the three Christians were in the Land Rover, we would talk about the things of God. But the unsaved, and some of them were quite hard, would ask you questions about spiritual things that they wouldn't ask you in front of anybody else. But in the Land Rover, they'd ask you spiritual questions, and we would debate it. And, you know, we didn't know. But the rest of the station called us the God Squad because the three of us were saved. And they thought it was quite funny that we were saved. But we didn't care. We were in God's hands. We were patrolling. I'm not going to go through all the things because we could be here to midnight. But I remember one night we were on and there was serious murders taking place, loyalist murders. So we were put on the 12-hour shifts and I was covering night shift. And we'd been trolling around very slowly because we had 12 hours in a small area. But we never left that area. We always stayed in it, and especially when there was a high threat. But there was an accident, and we had to go with a tape measure to the police outside the area. And we went out, and we'd done it. And when we went, it was a serious accident. We had to stay to direct traffic. And we were to come back, and we were going to have a coffee break, and we were going to go back out again. It was all marked out tonight, but because we weren't there, we were late, and we came in and have a cup of coffee. Now, the other police who patrolled the rest of East Belfast were quite afraid of the short strand, so they wouldn't go into it, and they normally only used two routes, but on that occasion, they used a third route out, and they were attacked by bombs. They threw a bomb at the Landover, and they missed it because they were driving fast, but we were going slow, and they would have hit us. Now, this never happened. We never left the areas, and again, I believe it was only the hand of God upon us that we were taken out of that area, something that we'd never done, and yet, on the night, we were taken out of it, and we were saved because of that there. There was an incident a month later in the same area, and then a month later after that, I was in patrol. I was in foot patrol with the military. When there was, we'd planned the route. I would plan out the route, and we would patrol around it on the directions, and the other patrols would weave around us. But I'd said we'd go a certain way, but halfway around it, I seen movement in an alleyway. I moved out to check that. And because I went up to check it, I came off my course and we came back out to just above an alleyway where we should have passed, and there was an explosion and a soldier was very, very seriously injured. Now, if we had came the first route, it would have probably been fatalities, the first three of us, because the Semtex bomb was packed with ball bearings and it scattered all over and peppered the wall with big chunks taken out of it. Again, that was the hand of God. It had to be the hand of God, you know. But it was hard to take. It was very hard. It was pressure. And we worked. This was 10:30 at night. And we worked the early hours of the morning. So we were told to come back in again at midday to continue the inquiries. We came in at midday. Probably right at 1 o'clock. We're out in the ground. And 2 hours later, there was a second explosion across the river. And we had to go to the scene. But in the meantime, Roberta was at home. And Roberta knew these things because there was no mobile phones, so people listened to the news and they would hear it, and if she knew something was happening, she no way contacted me until the station phoned her and said that I would be okay, I wasn't hurt, but I would be home sometime, and then she would know that she expected me sometime in the early hours of the morning. And that's what happened the night before, and she had prayed about it, and she was in her Bible reading, she got a psalm, and she wanted to tell me about it, and she tried to phone the station, but it wasn't in. You see, we went to that second explosion and a young policeman was killed by a rocket on that second explosion. And you're feeling there, feeling low, we're standing at the scene of the death of this young policeman. And I looked at him and I thought right away, the script always come to me on hell. He lifted up his eyes, being in torment, this young policeman wanting to do his job. And you know, I was broken about that, and I was standing there, we all were. But we came back to the station and Roberta got through and she said, Sandy, I want you to read Psalm 91. And I'm going to read it to you now. And it says, and we'll just read from verse 5. And it says, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the hour that flieth by day. And if you understand, at night, well, they used to get Semtex and the packet of ball burns at the alleyway, so you wouldn't see it until you were on top of it. Or the hour that flieth by day. They designed a rocket that went through the armour of our Land Rover. So thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the hour that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thy eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, and even the Most High thy habitation. There shall not no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Isn't that a marvellous psalm? It's certainly a marvellous psalm for somebody that was working where the area where we were. And as we read that, the three Christians, we were just, it lifted us. It lifted us to see that scripture, and it gave us reassurance. You know, I just want to drive through. I'll go back here, but I'll go through a number of years, and I held a psalm, and I still hold this psalm strong. But I often used to wonder, and it says in verse 8, only with the eyes shall they behold and see the reward of the wicked. And I wasn't looking for revenge, but I often wondered, the Lord gave me this psalm, and it definitely was my psalm, but what did this mean? And in May 2015, the most senior provisional IRA man in Belfast, who was the commander of the Short Strand unit, was shot dead away from the trouble 21 years after the incident. And as a retaliation of his death, another man from the Short Strand, who was a member of the active service unit, was shot dead on the 12th of August. Here was two of this unit was shot dead. Nothing to do, but I believe that was what it says. Only with the eyes shall behold and see the reward of the wicked. You know, going back to that incident, very shortly after those incidents, there was a ceasefire. And obviously, of course, we still went out in patrol. The next day of the ceasefire, we went out in patrol, and provisional IRA, two members of the active service came to me, and they looked at me, stopped with me, and they said, Sandy, you know, you'll not be as lucky the next time. And I looked at them, and I said, boys, I want to tell you something. You can't kill me unless God allows it. And if God allows it, I can't stop it. And they looked at me as if I was completely mad, and maybe in their eyes it was. And I lifted the patrol, I said, back to the station, I went back to the station, took the army back to the station, up into my desk, got my Bible, photocopied Psalm 91, right, back out again, and back down to this man that was shot in May, and they were all in his house. And I went to his house, knocked the door, and they wouldn't come to the door, but they opened the top window and said, what do you want? And I goes, I want you to read this, because this is why you can't kill me. Because God's hand's in it. And they looked at me as if, and they refused to come and take it off me. But that was my faith. I believed that God had done to protect me and he had looked after me. Because it says in Proverbs 3 and 5, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not on thy understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct thy paths. And it says in Psalm 118, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And you know, I trusted in the Lord. And I'll tell you now, right, it's not being brave, but I'll tell you now, when you're working in a situation that you'll be close to God and you'll talk to him every day, every patrol, you're talking to the Lord, his hand, because you needed the Lord to be with you and his hand be upon you. And you know, after the ceasefire, when there was just two of us, patrol the Short Strand like normal policing would be, but then the ceasefire broke down and then we were attacked again. And my colleague was quite seriously injured. Now, my boss then said, my superintendent had planned to move us before, but we said we were happy. But after that explosion, he said, I'm going to move you. I want you to choose where to go to. But you see, he was a real nice man. He was a really nice man, but he was man. And I believed I was in this area under the directions of my Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. I believed that God was upon him. So I just couldn't take his advice and go. I had to talk to God about it. So I went back home to Roberta and we talked about it. And I said, look, Roberta, they want to move me, but I need scripture to do it. And I'm asking here for the word go, to leave the Short Strand, and ask you to do the same about it. We prayed about it and prayed and next thing, and obviously I'm not just lifting the Bible and going anywhere. I'm talking about in my Bible readings, in my daily reading, that I have to get that. And for the first number of days, there's nothing. And then Roberta got it two or three times. She said, I've got it to go. And I said, no, but I have to get it as well. And then it started to come to me to go. And I felt it was God's heart telling me to go. But then I thought, where do I go to? And I always thought, I would like, when in the training centre, when they asked me where to go, I said I would like to go to Downpatrick, and sent me to Belfast. But I still had this inkling to go to Downpatrick. So I said, Lord, I was stretching here. I said, God, would you give a direction in my daily reading to go down and I pray about it? And in Psalm 104, at verse 8, says, and they go up to the mountains, and they go down by the valleys unto the place which they have founded them. And I believe that was God's hand again. and I firmly went, and I asked to be moved, and I finished up in 1997 in Downpatrick. Not the best place. People figure, why would you move from there to there? Because it had major problems as well. But that's where I felt to go. And I've been in that area from then, and I spent a long time in a tactical crime team or a proactive police unit. And then again, my boss has sent me to work with dissidents under disciplinary activity. I seem to get all the good jobs, don't I? But so I was sent there, and I talked to these boys, and they'll talk to you if you talk to them. And when I left that job to go to a neighbourhood, I went to the senior dissident, and I gave him a copy of the scriptures, and I said, I want you to read this, and I marked verses out for him. And he took it off me, and he thanked me for it. And since over COVID, I spoke to him and asked him, have you read that Bible yet? And he said, yes. And COVID, I took it out, and I was reading bits and pieces from it. So this dissident who would have no time for God is reading the Bible. But why do I tell you? Well, why do I tell others, and why do I witness about witnessing to others? Well, I tell you why. Because I was spoken to from the scriptures from Ezekiel 3, 17:21. And it says, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning. And when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest not warning, nor speaketh to warn the wicked from his wicked ways, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require of thy hand. Yet if they warn the wicked, and if he turn not from the wickedness, nor from the wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou shalt deliver thy soul. Again, when a righteous man turneth not from his doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, I lay a stumbling block before him. He shall die because I has not given him warning, and he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness that he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require of thy hand. And that really, really spoke to me about witness and testimony, testifying to people. You know, within my job, that's one thing wouldn't be encouraged, is testifying and witnessing the things of God. But the opportunity comes up, and the opportunity can, and talk to them. I moved to a neighbourhood team, and all my colleagues were Roman Catholics. And believe it or not, there is good banter. And they said to me, you know, Art, you're our token prod in this team. And I goes to them, but I'm right, you're wrong. And how are you right, and we're wrong? And I said, well, I've got 10 commandments, but you've only 9. And they go, no, we have the 10. And I said, yeah, but the commandment, no graven image, you drop it out, and then the covenant, the commandment, thou shalt not covet, they split it in two to get your 10 commandments. And just by simply doing that, these Roman Catholics on their lunch break would ask us things about scripture and start to talk to us. Talk to a drum gang, tell him I'm saved, and he asked me what it was about, and I explained to him about salvation. And then when I arrive up, and other drug members are with him, he's telling them, he's witnessing to them about me being saved and what you need to do. And there's this unsaved fellow telling other unsaved people about the things of God. So you can witness, and you should witness. I spoke to a fellow, a Roman Catholic. This man had been a Republican, but he was very disillusioned with the Catholic Church. And I spoke to him and discussed it. And I gave him a Bible, because as a children's worker, we always keep Bibles at church, and I got him a Bible, and I gave him a copy of the scriptures and a few marked out, and this fella took it. He's older than me, and this man took it, and I can't even remember giving him the scriptures at the time, but my colleague had stopped to talk to him because he worked in a shop, and he said, Sandy's got me into trouble. And I go, why is Sandy getting in trouble? He said, he gave me a copy of the King James Bible, he said, I started to read it, and I've got saved. And this fella, and he's going on with the Lord, and he was telling me he was in Spain, and he was reading the Bible on the beach, and this man said to him, oh, you see, you like plenty of reading. He said, I only read the King James Version of the Bible. He said, a policeman gave it to me. And the boy said, well, who was the policeman? He goes, Sandy Boyd. He said, I used to work with him. And this unsaved policeman, the Roman Catholics witnessed him on the beach in Spain. So you see, there's an onus to tell what God has done. What God has done for us. And why did I do it? Well, it says in Psalm 84, verse 10, for a day in the courts is better that 1,000, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. You see, I know that I'm going to heaven. I know that I'm going, when I die, that I'm going to be with my Savior. But I want to tell others about it. I want to warn them. And you know, when you look, and I told you, when I seen the young policeman dying, I looked and said, and hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And you know, at that funeral, I was at that funeral in 1994, and I went to the Church of Ireland in Dundalk, and I was low about that there. And I thought, this young policeman is in hell. But the minister got up in the Church of Ireland church, and he said, Johnson Beacon is a unique young man. Johnson Beacon was saved. He was washed in the precious blood. And I came out of that church a completely different man because that he was saved. And you see, this always bothers me about the rich man dying in hell and lifting up his eyes, being in torment. So I tell people all the time, whether they like it or whether they're not, you know, because we've an onus as Christians to warn others. You know, in my job, there's people in this church, and they may, I don't know any of you, but, you know, sometimes we look at people and they think they're fine, everybody's okay, they look good. Maybe the minister thinks it looks good. But in my job, as part of my job in the crime team, we used to deal with counterfeit goods. And that would be goods that looks like the real McCoy, but instead of costing hundreds of pounds, it's made in China or made in Turkey, and it's a fraction of the price. It's a counterfeit thing. And sometimes there's people, and they're counterfeit Christians, they look all right. But you know, Samuel, 1 Samuel 16 and 6, God says on to Samuel, and he's choosing the king, and the Lord says, look not in the countenance or of the height or the stature, because I refused him. The Lord looketh, the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh in the outward appearance, but God looketh in the heart. You see, I don't know whether you're a replica Christian tonight or you're unsaved, but people, do not reject the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for you on Calvary's cross. He shed his blood for you. And if you're not saved here tonight, you will leave this church out onto the road, and you'll decide either to turn left or right. We'll all do that to get home. But you'll also leave this church if you're unsaved, and you'll decide whether you accept Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, or you'll reject him. And if you reject him, you could be lost forever. I don't tell you about my testimony, you know, that it was very special. I don't tell you that I was a special policeman. I tell you my testimony of the things that happened to me because my Lord looked after me. I was in fear many times, but I knew that I was in God's hands. And that's what I tell, my testimony of what God done for me. But I pray that if you're not saved, that you will trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior.
I want to say a word of thanks to our brother Sandy for coming this evening and testifying. You know, it's wonderful to see the protection that God gives. The trust that you can put in the Lord. You know, we spoke this afternoon over an altar of that verse in Luke 1, where it really brings us to the Trinity and how even that Mary was protected by the power of God. She was watched over, she carried the babe Christ in her womb. And she was enveloped so that nothing could touch her. We mentioned it last week, didn't we? About how that the Christian, nothing can harm them in the storms of life. God is our refuge and strength, present help in trouble. Is he your Savior? No, Sandy spoke about how he witnesses. He tells others because of how wonderful Christ has been to him, how wonderful Christ is to him. Do you know that in your life? Can you say tonight that Christ is my Savior and he's my strength? If you have any questions, if you'd like to speak to Sandy afterwards, he'll be at the door. He'd love nothing better than to simply sit down with you and to talk with you. But as he mentioned, whenever you're leaving here tonight, are you leaving with Christ? Are you leaving without him? Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we bow before thee. We thank thee, O God, for thy saving grace. We thank thee, O God, this night that thou art able to bring us from death unto life. We thank thee, Lord, that thou dost not simply save and then abandon, but thou dost save and thou dost protect. Thou dost watch over thy children. Thine eye is upon the righteous, thine ear is open unto their cry. And O God in heaven, we just simply pray that thou wilt bless this testimony to each and to every heart. That thou wilt speak in and through that which has been of thee. And if there be one before us, O God, that has been living that counterfeit life, that thou wilt search their hearts, that thou wilt show them, O God, their need of salvation tonight, that thou wilt draw them unto thyself. Hear and answer prayer. Bless us now as we separate one from the other. Take us to our homes in safety. Lord, keep thy hand upon us even in the days that lie ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.